three, two, one, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with another episode of the Bedroom to Boardroom podcast, where we delve into the stories of people from underrepresented backgrounds. The focus is always the guest, but I'm the host for today's episode, AJ. So without further ado, let's get started.
Awesome. So good afternoon, good morning. We're here with Charlie, a lead, the developer. Hello, Charlie. How's it going?
I'm good. Hi, everyone. Hi. Sorry, I forgot your name.
AJ, no worries.
AJ, my guy.
How am I feeling? I'm just enjoying the lockdown. I don't want to go back to the office. I'm enjoying just being at home. It's beautiful.
Honestly, I'm bored. Not gonna lie.
Oh, really?
I want to get back to work.
Oh, wow. So, speaking of work, it'd be good to have an understanding of, I mentioned a lead developer. Now, I only found out about the developer role maybe last summer. For those who are ignorant like I used to be, what is a developer?
So basically what we do mostly, we put together components and create solutions. This could be like business related to kind of like help business processes, or sometimes they could be like consumer related projects. So it could be like, I don't know, like a student app or stuff like that. And basically, we just create all these components, put them together, box them up in applications, and deliver it.
And how did you find yourself interested in being a developer?
To be completely honest, at first, I was kind of like Googling, thinking, you know, how do I make money? Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, all those guys kind of pop up. So I started learning back in school. And I was studying accounting at the time. Mm-hmm. And eventually I just started making websites for people. And by the time I finished school, I kind of had a business. So I just decided to go to uni and do the same thing because I was already involved in the industry. Mm-hmm. And just went from there, really.
And what advice, if I take a step back, what is a typical day for you?
I mean, you wake up, you code all day. You're not really just coding most of the time. You know, sometimes you're on YouTube. You're just playing around. Most of development is mostly research. Mm-hmm. So you don't just know all solutions of it. It's mostly about your mental process and then finding, you know, documentation for one or the other APIs or, you know, frameworks. And you just putting this together, mostly, to be honest.
And you mentioned coding. What languages are you well versed in?
So at the moment, I mainly use JavaScript. Mm-hmm. I've been diving into Golang, and at work, we use this PHP framework called Laravel, which it makes it easy to kind of like get started and get things like put together because we are two lead developers and the other guys are all juniors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us to be able to like hit our targets, you know, hit the deadlines, we need everyone to be able to like easily understand what they're doing.
True. So let's perhaps like rewind to when you were looking for ways to make money. You saw, you know, tech and software was, you know, eating the world, as Mark Andreessen would say. And you said, hey, this is something that I'm interested in. What were like your first few steps then?
So at the time, I used to live back in Italy, and we used to have like this modem. So whenever I wanted to use the internet, I used to like, you know, unplug the telephone, put it on the computer and everything. And I just typed, you know, HTML, CSS, etc. I downloaded a few PDFs and I just started learning, just experimenting on the computer. There was a new website that came out at the time called Subito.it. Was a sort of eBay, but it just looked completely crap. And somehow these guys were making a ton of money. So I was like, you know, I could do better. I mean, I couldn't because obviously I just started. So,
but you could, you know, do it in the future, for sure.
It was a learning experience, though. Yeah.
And how long would it take you to get up to competence, somewhere where you feel, all right, I feel confident enough to actually charge a client for my skill set?
As a freelancer, you just have to build a portfolio. In terms of like just learning how to code, at the moment you have like coding boot camps, and some of these like last 4 months, and you can get a junior role. If anyone wants to get into the industry right now, what I would advise is to do an apprenticeship. and just go straight in. Like, obviously do some research on your own first. You know, you should be passionate about it. But then after that, just go straight in.
And what languages would you say are the most popular right now for companies, for a new person to pick up and go on Google and try and learn?
So you should definitely start with the basics. HTML, CSS, JavaScript, PHP. This kind of allows you to create a full solution. So, you know, database, views, and logic. Then obviously you will need to learn a framework so you don't have to write everything from scratch. And at the moment, the popular ones on the front end are Angular, React, or Vue.js. On the back end, you have Laravel with PHP, Symfony, or .NET Core, which is quite popular in an enterprise environment.
So you've just made two distinctions, front end and back end. What are differences between the two?
So, like, the front end is mainly the view layer, right? This is how they used to call it. The correct way is probably like client side and server side. So on the client side, this is what's downloaded by your browser. This is everything you see and interact with. On the server side, this is everything that's pretty much hidden from the user. True. So connecting, you know, getting data from the database. Obviously, we don't want to give the user, you know, the logins to the database. So we write the code to access it on the back end, and we access it by making a request to the back end.
Awesome. And I guess the skill set required for both of those, and correct me if I'm wrong, is probably largely different. What skills does a front end developer need compared to the skills that a back end developer needs?
I'll say on the front end, you know, you should definitely be a bit visual. Apart from that, usually coding is coding. You know, a lot of people I've worked with that are on the back end are kind of people that, you know, they just don't want to do the front end. So the front end is very much like detailed and stuff like that. So it's a lot of configuration mostly, right? While on the back end is mainly just coding, right? Just, you know, writing variables, iterating through, you know, lists and all that stuff, calculation and stuff, which you still do on the front end if you're working on complex application. But most of the time people kind of differentiate it as in the front end is the HTML, CSS, the back end is, you know, whatever code you're running.
And I believe there's also like a third one, a full stack, which is somebody who can do both.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So yeah, as I said, there's not much actual difference between front end and back end. Like after a few years, you pretty much a full stack, unless you just focus on back end. But most back end as well kind of transition into front end as well. But yeah, you know, it's mostly like labor division, if that makes sense. Sure. Like you can do everything, but it's going to take you ages. You know, if you want to actually deliver on your target, you need to organize your team properly and just distribute the tasks. So,
and have you seen people have much more success picking, let's say, front-end development elements to start off with learning afresh compared to maybe back-end?
I've not been in an environment where I've seen someone there in front-end. The company where I work for, they're all back-end, kind of. And I came in as the first front end because it got to a point where, you know, they just did enough for the application to work, and the client, you know, didn't want it. So at that point, you know, I had to come in and kind of make it into like an actual application that I could, you know, push out. But it seems for people find it easier to start on the back end.
Sure.
Because it's mainly like iterating through data, like getting data from the database, you know, editing data and stuff like that and returning it. On the front end, if you're not doing any interaction, that could be easier than back end. But the moment you start adding some interaction, then you have to do some actual programming there as well. And, you know, people just skip it.
So for a new person who's listened to this PAPS and is like, yo, this coding stuff sounds fun, they are looking to break into the respective industry. If you could do this all again, knowing what you know, what proactive steps would you give to somebody to allow them to maybe get to break into the industry?
I mean, these days, I don't know. Back in the days, we had like web design was big, right? At the moment, you have all these tools like Wix and all these website generators. You know, there was a time people you could charge £10,000 for a website. Wow. And, you know, at the time, I used to do like competitions, and I found a guy who had contacts with some agencies, and he was a designer. So I used to code his designs, and then I went on this website called Odesk. I think now it's called like some Google or something, I don't know. So it's called Upwork at the moment. But it's kind of like filled in with like people from all over the world who are just competing on price. So I'm not sure how feasible that is today. And after that, it just came from references, really. So after like a year doing websites, one of my old clients kind of referred me to a lawyer in Seattle. And this guy was pushing a product called Our Deal, which was for digital contracts. At the time, Adobe didn't have the digital thing in the program. So this guy created this web platform where he provided templates, and he was a lawyer, so all these templates were like properly done. And people could create their own templates, and you know, you could see whenever somebody signed and the date and other stuff. So I joined them as a front end. The back end was a PHP. There was another guy from Argentina, and after that, I was working with this marketer in the US called Paul, and he had a few like social media related projects. And so I kind of met him while I was in university, and at the time I had a few deadlines. So what I did is I, you know what, I'm just gonna up my price, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, I've got uni stuff to do anyway.
Sure.
So I just floated, you know, I just told him £30 an hour, and he was like, yeah, cool. So I just started off on that, and I worked with him for a few years, up to like a year after university. And then it just seemed like everybody was going in-house, right? I don't really see a lot of remote freelance guys anymore. Because obviously at the time, this was much of a like, most of the people in the industry were like passionate people, innit? They were all nerds. Everyone was working from home. But now I think a lot of businesses are catching up. So they have the proper, you know, tech department, you know, tech guys in the office, and they want you there now. So, you know, you didn't have a choice.
Fair. So I guess for myself, I've learned a little bit more about like tech. And you mentioned before there's a lot of these like no code solutions. So there's like a Webflow, there's like Bubble, which are a great way for people who are looking to generate a quite a simple product or service and have it shared and whatnot. And I think for most people, I'd recommend they spend about an hour or so during lockdown just messing around with tech. I think, you know, tech is fundamentally, and software is fundamentally the future. You mentioned that one of the great ways you've been able to perhaps find different roles when you're contracting was one, recommendations, but also based upon your portfolio. You mentioned on Upwork, people are competing for price. So unless you want to be doing a mad amount of work for slave wages, it's probably best to stay away from that. Would you think that, you know, recommendations are probably the best, or referrals are the best way to find business in this industry?
Yeah, definitely. Although, you know, if you just need to get in, you might as well do those, you know, those low quality jobs. At the end of the day, you do have to grind, right? It's not going to be easy. Do the work, you know, get a few people on your side, and then people are going to start sharing your name around. Another agency that's good at the moment, actually, is called TopTal. I registered with them, but I never really used them. They do have some nice jobs. They do do technical tests for the people who apply. So you will only be able to apply for jobs you complete a technical test for. And there's less, you know, competition, price competition there.
Awesome. And in regards to perhaps content, or do you consume any content around, you know, developing, that you'd recommend for other people?
Yeah, there's this website called dev.to. Is it dev.to? And pretty much a lot of people in the industry are just, it's just a blogging platform. And everyone's nice. You know, there's a code of conduct. You know, there's no toxicity. No one just chatting rubbish. You can, you know, if you don't know things, just post in there. People will reply to you. Reddit is good as well. But apart from that, I usually go on Medium. And you register there and they send you like an email every day or every few days based on the content you usually read. So if you find yourself doing like a Google research to, you know, about something, eventually they'll start sending you content related to what you're working on.
Perfect. Well, this is my first episode with a developer. So thank you so much for the time. Do you want, if anybody has any questions about perhaps being a lead developer or a front-end developer, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Probably.
Wow. Thank you for taking some time to listen to all of that. I really appreciate it. Feedback makes the world go round. So what I'd like for you to do is please give us a follow on Instagram, bedroom2b. That's our socials. Please give me some feedback as to how we can improve. Alternatively, message me on LinkedIn. So AJ, surname is Alpha Lima, Alpha Oscar. Feedback makes the world go round, so I'm eagerly anticipating how we can make the next few episodes much better. Again, thank you so much for listening and stay tuned for the next episode.